All right. Hey, man, we know it's football time. When we got Brad Powers on the show, loving the podcast, hit the books. You got to go check us out. I've shared it on the timeline. I always learn something from Brad on Hit the Books. Brad, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me again. We've been doing this several years now. The years go by quick, but I'll tell you what, no better time than this time of year, because all the hopes and dreams are there for everybody. nothing's been dashed yet, but give it a few weeks and it'll be a different tune for a few fan bases.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate that you're rocking the Alabama hat. So let's just start with the Crimson Tide, because I heard you say this over the off season, and I really value your opinion. I believe you said you bet Alabama, you got good odds for them to win the national title. And I believe I recently heard you even say you bet Ty Simpson to win the Heisman. Now, this is not like you guaranteeing either one, but you found good value in each of those. Can you go into why'd you place those wagers, and are you feeling good now that Ty Simpson is a starting quarterback?
Yeah, well, I think you hit on most important. It's all value for me. It's not like a prediction, because, I mean, I'll make a ton of bets. It's just always what number can I get it at, and do I perceive, you know, for certain odds, something overrated, underrated, not being priced accordingly. But with Alabama all offseason, just I haven't felt they've been priced accordingly. They were way low and when some of these numbers were coming out, whether it be week one against Florida State or the win total. And keep in mind, some of this stuff's been out since as far back as January. So I've been very pro Alabama in the betting markets. I'm willing to give Kalen DeBoer, I'll give him an asterisk for last year. I actually think Saban himself might have thought he had a problem with last year's locker room. There's a reason why he left, because, if you remember, one of them articles said he was thinking he was going to have a good team coming back. He was excited, and all of a sudden he did the player exit interviews, and people were talking about money, if not they're transferring, and then he decided to retire. So I'm going to give DeBoer that 1 year to get adjusted. I think Ryan Grubb being back, his right-hand man for most of his career back as the OC, is going to help. I think Ty Simpson, I'm not huge on Ty Simpson, but look, it's an Alabama quarterback, a team that I think is a legit national title contender. Anytime you got a legit national title contender and you got the starting quarterback who I think is going to put up good numbers in a very quarterback-friendly offense, a la Michael Penix a few years ago at Washington, I'm going to make that bet, more often than not, especially if you're going to give me a good number. So I think Alabama is not only a playoff contender, but literally a national title contender. And there's a difference there. A team, willing to make a 12-team playoff, or a team capable of winning three games in a playoff.
Yeah, and I mean, there is an opportunity here, Brad, where, I mean, this could be the first and last time that Alabama's kind of undervalued under Kalen DeBoer, if he is who we thought he was when he got hired at Alabama. So, again, you're on top of it. That's why I value your opinion. But also somewhat being, I don't know if you could say undervalued, Georgia, who I think I've heard you say, and I agree with this as well, I don't know that they're going to be an underdog in any regular season game this year. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to go undefeated, but not hearing a ton of buzz with Georgia as compared to maybe Texas. What's your thoughts on Kirby Smart's latest team?
So, yeah, I've been very pro-Alabama all offseason, but if you'd had to ask me right now here in middle of August, what team, when you've been doing as long as me, sometimes you get a feeling for what team, people are forgetting about, and you're right on it. It's right now it's Georgia. I'm liking what I'm hearing from the wide receivers, much improved wide receiver position. Obviously, it was one of their Achilles heel last year. Gunnar Stockton, we'll see. Wasn't overly impressed with mainly the game plan and the performance against Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl there. But boy, poor old Georgia with, number one and number two recruiting classes almost every year the last 7 years. And yet no one's really talking about them. I think that's right up Kirby Smart's alley, to say the least. And then you mentioned that schedule. I just talked about Alabama being a legit national title contender. Well, they got to go to Georgia. And all those road games that Georgia played last year, whether it was at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss, well, guess what? All three of those teams got to come to Athens. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they haven't lost between the hedges since 2019. So, boy, they're favoring every game. Not saying that they're going to win every game, but yeah, I bet Georgia to win the SEC. That's a recent bet I made, not something I bet 6 months ago. I do think they're being undervalued in the markets right now.
And off the top of your head, do you know the head coach that last won as a visitor there in Georgia?
Will Muschamp.
That always blows my mind. I don't know about you, but
yeah. Who was not on the Georgia staff this year. So that's a little bit concerning because he's kind of been, keep in mind, a teammate of Kirby back in his Georgia days. So having a guy like that, you know, it doesn't have to be in an official capacity, but a guy can run stuff by. I don't know. That's something that might not show this year, but maybe down the road, not having that guy by your side year after year kind of might hurt Georgia. I don't know. But what I do know is I still think it's one of the most talented rosters in America. And for people not to be talking about him is crazy to me. They did win in a down year. They won the SEC last year, for Pete's sake.
Well, everybody and their mother is talking about damn Texas and Arch Manning. Are you buying the Arch Manning hype? And again, on your show, you know, there were some questions. Steve Sarkisian, not saying he's not a really, really good coach, but do you buy him as an elite big game coach?
Yeah, I'm not. And it's not like I'm super down. It's just that there's, you know, when you talk about expectations, I mean, they're being priced like the best team in the country. Arch is being priced like a generational talent. And I think Sarkisian's a really good coach. I think Arch is going to be a really good quarterback, but generational, you know, what's the latest article? They're the next Alabama. Are you kidding me? They've won zero national championships. And I think I'm always a big guy of narratives. What just changed one play? Is there a narrative change? Do people forget they had to convert a 4th and 10 to force a second overtime to beat Arizona State? What's the narrative? Are they preseason number one if they lose to Arizona State? Probably not. One play, 4th and 10, you know, something you maybe convert 30% of the time. I just think if Arch is a generational quarterback, like everyone's talking about, generational quarterbacks are playing before their junior season significant. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what time period. Dan Marino started as a freshman. John Elway started as a freshman. Peyton Manning, old Uncle Peyton, he was starting as a freshman at Tennessee half the season. I just, you know, it's not like he was behind a first round draft pick. He was behind like Steve Spurrier, you know, one of my favorite offseason comments so far. I mean, he was behind a 7th round draft pick in Quinn Ewers. And if Arch is the guy, why is he not the guy last year?
Right. And again, when you're getting your ass kissed all summer at Ohio State, obviously in the opener, I'm going to ask you about that here in a minute. At Florida's your first conference game, then Oklahoma. How does this team respond to adversity? We literally won't know the answer till we see it, but hell, we've been doing this long enough to know there's plenty of teams that are supposed to be national championship contenders and they don't even make the playoff.
Yeah, that's, I wouldn't be stunned. I mean, if they didn't make it, they're for the preseason number one team, they're an underdog in game one. They're going to be an underdog at Georgia. At Florida's not going to be easy. Oklahoma, I bet Oklahoma in the game already in that one, catching double digits in that one. So I'm not calling for it, but I wouldn't be stunned if this is a 9-3 team. And if you don't believe me, hell, the win total is 9.5 on the preseason number one team. It's juiced to the over, and I would say 10-2 is probably their most likely record. But my goodness, I don't think you have to get too creative to think that Texas could struggle a little bit. I'll tell you where they did struggle in every big game they played last year. Couldn't run the football. And now you lose 4 starters on that all-talented offensive line. The question is it addition by subtraction? I don't know yet. But one thing I do know is they couldn't run against Ohio State. Couldn't run in either game against Georgia. Hell, couldn't even run against Arizona State, even though they had a 60-pound per man advantage in that one. National championship teams, even the pass-oriented teams, can still, when they need to pick up a first down on 3rd and short, they pick it up. That's a question mark that we'll see if it gets answered in Columbus here in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, when I ask you about Texas, got to ask you about Oklahoma. What's your thoughts on them trying to reboot the offense? Are you sold on Brent Venables, the head coach? Not that we all believe in him as a defensive coordinator, but maybe not the head coach. And then another great point that you made that I had quite honestly forgot all about. They added Kevin Wilson as an analyst. What does that do for the Sooners, do you think?
Yeah, he's another guy that, I mean, you know, he's not like an official offensive coordinator type, but a guy that Venables was in the trenches with way back in the day, you know, in the early 2000s when he was the DC. Kevin Wilson was the OC at Oklahoma. So it's a guy he can trust, a guy that's got head coaching experience. So I think that's critical. I think Oklahoma's much improved. Where the difference between me and Joe Q Public, okay, they're much improved. Does that mean they're going to win 9-10 games? No. Have you seen the schedule? I think they could be one of the more improved teams in the country and still be like 7-5-ish. They're certainly going to be improved on offense. They were a mess last year, not just because of coordinator, but mainly personnel and injuries. I mean, I think people forget their top five wide receivers are out most of the season. That's not a way to cut in a new quarterback. Offensive line's been a mess, should be a little bit better. I do like the continuity of having a quarterback and OC coming together at once. As long as he cleans up the Venmo, I think Mateer will be just fine. And I think that's much to do about nothing. Good thing with a lot of these teams is they got a big game week two. Michigan, we're going to find out right away what they are. And it's not like, you know, we got to wait a month to see how good that they'll be. They also get Auburn at home in September. So the good thing is that both those games, if you're an OU fan, are both at home. But then after that, I mean, it's the SEC. And it's not like they got a much tougher draw the first couple of years compared to Texas. So, again, I'll restate it. I mean, they could be one of the most improved teams in the country and 7-5, 8-4-ish. And that's not going to cut it at Oklahoma. And you asked me, am I buying Venables as a head coach long-term? I'm not. He's a DC. I think eventually within the next couple of years, they're probably going to have to move on from him.
Yeah. How much fun did Brad Powers' group text have, though, with the John Mateer Venmo stuff?
A little bit. I'm getting older where you don't have too much, but a lot of people are asking me, people were betting it. I mean, they were fading it like he was going to get suspended. Call me conservative. I was like, I don't know if this is a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't think it really is, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, you just lie and just say, like he did. I mean, probably was gambling. Just say, I was just, you know, friendly stuff with my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
How dumb can you be, though? You can't do any of that anymore. I mean, come on.
No doubt. Well, I'll tell you what also that can't happen, Brad. LSU can't miss the playoffs. If Brian Kelly's got a future down at Baton Rouge, what do you make about LSU going all in the portal? But quite honestly, I'm not getting it. The championship buzz. They probably should be a playoff contender, but I'm not buying them as a national championship contender. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the no on the playoffs is favored. I mean, the win total is 8.5. I mean, whether they go 8-4, 9-3, that's not going to cut it. Especially when the previous three coaches all won a national championship by year four. I think they're going to be better, especially defensively. They were better last year defensively. Schedule again. I mean, starting with week one at Clemson. I mean, there's a reason why they're more than a field goal underdog in that game. I think Clemson's a little bit better and it's on the road. Offensive line didn't live up to expectations last year and they lose all those guys. Playing Clemson's defensive front in week one's not ideal. I like Nussmeier. I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think he's great. I mean, hell, they lost three games with Jaden Daniels Heisman year. So I know the defense is better, but I don't know how much better relying solely on the portal. I mean, the guy that's tearing it up is a South Florida post-spring transfer who's undersized. I mean, you could say that's great, but I say that's not great. A guy that's 280 pounds from South Florida is your best defensive lineman in camp. And then you always got to ask yourself, is the defensive line that much improved, or we got a problem on offense a little bit, particularly the offensive line? So I have my doubts on I think Brian Kelly's a really good coach. I don't think he's a big game coach. A lot more big games in an SEC schedule compared to, you know, what he was playing in Notre Dame. I'm not even buying that they make the playoffs. So, because I think to be a surefire playoff team, you got to go 10-2. And I mean, the chance of them going 10-2, I mean, that's a monster underdog right now.
Right. And you made one other really good point on your show that, LSU, by some metrics, you know, number one portal class, but that doesn't take into account that this was probably not, certainly not at the top end, a really good portal class like we've seen in years past. So, again, that if you really...
You are a fan of some of the shows I do. You're taking notes.
No, I always, I'm telling you, I listen to everything. So, I think that's got to be taken into consideration.
You're right. I mean, transfer portal class is down. So all those big schools like Texas Tech, LSU, some of these that went all in, the big boys retain their guys this year compared to what's been done the last couple of years. So yeah, it might be number one, but it's not the same type of class that, you know, that we saw in transfer portal past seasons.
Mm-hmm. But another program that did go into the portal, A&M, what's your read on year two, Mike Elko and the Aggies?
I like Mike Elko. I think there has to be some patience. I think there's unreasonable expectations. They're just not a, they're not a blue blood. I can tell you that. Even though they recruit like one, they just never, for some reason, never able to put it completely on the field. Hell, didn't even really put it on the field. I know last year, all that great start. I deal with numbers and you know, point spreads. I mean, A&M was terrible. Only covered three games last year. So again, they were overpriced. I'm not buying Marcel Reed. I think we'll see if he's improved as a passer. I just think he's limited. And I think if they need to take that next step, which is what everybody wants in College Station, they're going to have to move on from him at some point. So I think run game defense will be much improved, especially with Elko having more of a hand in there. I think they are what they are, though. Look like an 8-4 team to me with the schedule, especially, you know, at Notre Dame, at LSU, at Texas. It's going to be tough to win any of those games, let alone run the table on the other ones. So, but, you know, most likely record for me this year for A&M is 8-4.
Well, the jokes write themselves, don't they? But
yeah, they do.
One guy you didn't reference there, though, I've heard so many mixed things about him, and most of the time he spent his time out of the conference. So I wanted to ask, what's your thoughts on offensive coordinator Colin Klein? Because anytime we have like a defensive-minded head coach, a lot of times the success or failure of the program is dependent on the offensive coordinator he's hired. What's your read on Colin Klein?
A good young coach. I don't know if he's a great one yet. Need to see a little bit more. Wasn't overly impressed last year, but obviously they're interchanging quarterbacks, so a big year for him. But I think he's a good one. Just not, you know, hasn't proven to me to be a great one. I think a young great coach, you know, OC would be a Georgia Tech coach, Buster Faulkner. To me, he's shown enough to be, you know, with his talent level, a great one. But big year. We're gonna find out in South Bend in what week three. If they're improved or not, because that wasn't a great look for them last year. I know it was an opener for a new coaching staff, but I mean, the market, remember, moved A&M to favorite in that game, and they were kind of lost offensively, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, another team that has been lost at times under their head coach, which they shouldn't have been, in my opinion, Florida at Billy Napier. Are you buying the Gators? A very difficult schedule. Seems like every day they have an injury in camp. What's your read on Florida?
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying them that, you know, early numbers had their win total at 6.5. I was buying over there, but now it's 7.5 just to prove that every half win matters in these markets. I'm not willing to bet over 7.5. I think the most likely record for me is 7-5. That's not going to, you know, they didn't pay Napier to come over to go 7-5. A lot of it, though, is the schedule. One of the most difficult in the country. I mean, they just to put in perspective, I think they're 7-5 team. And yet I have them in power ratings top 15 in the country. So you plug that power rating in schedule 7-5, that just shows you how tough it is. I am, if there's any team so far in fall camp, the first couple weeks that I'm worried about, probably Florida with the injuries. You obviously listen to the show. We've been talking all spring. I hate hearing about those, you know, procedures that kind of get swept under the rug. And that was at the end of spring with DJ Lagway's procedure. And hasn't been fully healthy so far through fall camp. I this is in the weeds, but I haven't been impressed with Florida's strength and conditioning program at any point during Napier. Whether this is the opening game against Utah, opening game against Miami, they don't feel like they're ready to go when the season starts. So the thankful thing for them this year is they start with Long Island and South Florida before they travel to LSU and Miami. But not having guys healthy when you're relatively inexperienced, particularly a quarterback, and every rep matters. If I had to bet it now, I'd bet under 7.5. Mm. Which 7-5, I don't know if he's completely safe. They showed some patience last year. Are they going to continue to show patience?
Yeah, I mean that is certainly not the standard in Gainesville, but they have lowered expectations down there. I'll tell you where they have it, though, Brad, is Columbia, South Carolina, where, hell, these fans are convinced they're going to the playoff this year. What's your read on the Gamecocks with maybe the best quarterback in the conference, Lenore Sellers?
Well, I agree with you. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. No doubting that. Big fan ever since I first saw him, I think, spring game a couple years ago. With it. He was still wearing goggles at the time. I'm not buying the rest of the roster around him. You know, Nick Harbor's a great talent. We'll see if he can finally, looks like Tarzan. Maybe, hopefully, for Gamecocks fans, plays like Tarzan this year, finally. I still think he's more track star than football player, but we'll see. What I'm really not buying is two things. The defense losing five guys and winning the first four rounds of the NFL draft. Hey, South Carolina is doing a decent job recruiting. This isn't Alabama, though. It's not Georgia. It's not Ohio State. They're not replacing that guys year after year, that amount of talent. And what I'm really not buying is that October and November slate. I think there's a good chance they get off to a hot start, but I don't think anybody in the country, let alone, a South Carolina team that's not, in my opinion, top 10, is going to survive that slate without multiple losses. So I know a lot of people don't like that. It's unpopular, especially anytime I post it, that I think they're overrated. But one of my biggest positions this offseason is under their win total, whether it's 8.5, 7.5. I think this is a 6-6, 7-5 team. Still think they could be, they're still top 25, top 20-ish in my power ratings. But again, with that schedule, you plug it in there, that doesn't equate to, a 9-3, 10-2 record like a lot of other people think that they're going this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the other end of the spectrum, Missouri's got a very favorable schedule. What do you make of Missouri, and could they be, an outside playoff team? Maybe not, hell, certainly not if they had Florida or South Carolina schedule, but the one they have, they could sneak in there.
Yeah, I don't play a road game until mid-October. That's nice. Real nice. Has me thinking that, I've been doing this long. We always talk in my industry regression. And no team in the country's had a better record in one score games the last 2 years than Missouri, 10-1. So I think they've been a little bit, their record's a little bit better than the statistical profile of the team the last 2 years. So sooner or later, that kind of turns where you're in a bunch of close games, and they will be again in October and November. Do they have the quarterback that gets them over the top? I wasn't a huge Cook fan, but good leader and got the job done when they needed him to. Prabula is a good athlete. We'll see if he can throw it. I know he's been in a heated competition with Horn. I think the defense is fine. I think that it should be, they should continue there. And I do like the head coach. I think he's brilliant, and he's gotten the most out of that program. This just screams like this is regression, 7-5-ish. And the market's agreed this year. If you've really followed closely like me, it's went from 7.5 to even 6.5 in some spots. And again, I know SEC fan. Well, they'd be betting every team's over. Oh, they're going to go over. they forget that it's a zero-sum game and you can't have ties and stuff. But if you had to really narrow me down, I think this is another team. It's going to sound like a broken record, 7-5-ish.
Well, and to your point, Brad, Ole Miss, they were on the plus side of all these one-score games. And then last year, they basically all went against them. What's your read on Ole Miss this year?
Well, that was not only a playoff team last year, that was a national championship contender. They finished a season 3 in my power ratings and didn't even qualify for the playoffs. So I thought Kiffin did a horrible job last season, to be perfectly frank with you. I think he's a good coach. But, until he matures and is buttoned up like his – the guy he worked for a couple of years in Saban, I just don't see it. And I don't see it with this year's roster, especially when you got to go to the portal heavy every year. A lot of those portal guys were actually, even though they disappointed last year, they were hits. Those guys are in the NFL. They were highly productive for them. I don't know. I don't like this year's portal class as much as the last couple. Schedule is manageable, but you would also think manageable would be beating Kentucky. And Florida is a double-digit favorite, and they couldn't do that with last year's team. I think this is an 8-4 type of team this year.
Mm-hmm. And how about Tennessee? Again, the schedule's manageable, but a lot of turnover for the Vols.
I don't like what I'm hearing from camp, and I know you're more in tune with it than me. I think the defense will be fine. I think Banks, the DC, is one of the more underrated DCs in the country. I think teams are starting to figure out the Heupel offense, they're adjusting, and now they've seen it year after year. It was a big-time adjustment for them the first couple of years. I don't think they have the quarterback, obviously. Aguilar would be okay. I think the saving grace for them taking like a big step back is, like you mentioned, the schedule. I think it's an 8-4 type of team this year. and they'll really heavily lean on the defense. I think the opener, if you catch my drift, will be a little bit lower scoring. I think Syracuse's offense will be way down this year too. So if you catch that, lower scoring first game.
All right, and then final team I wanted to hit you with that I can't make heads or tails of, Hugh Freeze. Auburn. Hugh Freeze, he's currently screaming at his quarterback. I don't know if you saw that today, but what's your read on the Tigers?
Man, initially, and again, you know, sometimes my opinion changes a little bit throughout the course of an off season when the numbers are up for 6 months. Initially, I bet over 7.5. I'm like, this has to be at least 8-4. He's gone. I still feel that way. If 7-5 or worse, get him out of there. I mean, in year three. My confidence level in that bet that I made over 7.5 has gone down here in fall camp. I don't like what I'm reading in fall camp. I think the opener, your people are going to be paying attention to it, but I think nationally he's not getting enough on the love. I think that's going to be a swing for both teams, Auburn and Baylor. Auburn's currently favored by 2.5. That game has swung back and forth. There's varying opinions on that game. I think that's one of the best week one games, maybe the best one that nobody's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just give you a tip here, Brad. Bet the over on Auburn next year, John Summerall, year one. But let's go right to that game. I want to ask you about a couple of these week one games real quick. You just already hit on Auburn-Baylor. It's gone back and forth and back and forth. What's your read on that one?
I need a 3 to bet Baylor. I did bet some Auburn at Pick'em just because I thought it was going up. And, you know, at Mr. SEC on a Friday night, I'm going to bet the SEC. You know, I mean, the public does have a say in markets now that it's with legalization. So I was just getting in front of a number. Not too much involved. Don't expect to be unless I see that all-important 3 on the home dog. Then we'll get involved.
And we've already referenced Texas at Ohio State. Ohio State, the favorite here. It's just wild to see preseason number one underdog in the opener, but makes sense that it's in Columbus. What's your read on that one?
I lean on the Buckeyes. Nothing big there. What I do have big on is the under, under the total. I just think conservative game plan to start off for Arch. I think we'll see more running from Arch than anything, but certainly see more conservative game plan with Ohio State. Big game, early start time, usually conducive to slower starts, so under for me is my preferred bet. But I do lean Buckeyes. I think Texas is overrated in almost every market.
Mm-hmm. How about LSU at Clemson? Clemson favorite at home. What's your read on that one?
Yeah, early bet was Clemson when it was under a field goal. Now, though, we're starting to get to the point where, you know, numbers matter. I'd be more inclined to bet LSU on the side. Again, going to sound boring. I prefer under. I know, we got two of the three Heisman favorites at quarterback, high scoring. I think LSU's defense is going to be improved. I think Clemson's defense is probably one of the better ones they've had in the last 5 years. I go back to LSU's opener last year. Oh, LSU, USC, over, got to bet it. And, I mean, that was a slugfest in Vegas with like 47 points scored. So, under for me.
And then how about Alabama at Florida State? But is Florida State hard to read with all the transfers?
Two words, Roll Tide. No, I do think they really get after Florida State. I've upgraded Florida State's power rating more than any team in the Power Four. I still think Alabama should be favored. This one should be 14, and it doesn't sound like a big difference. Well, it is, 13.5 compared to 14. I mean, that's the difference between winning and losing. Just to show you how much down the market was on Alabama at the start, this line opened 7.5 6 months ago. So you know what? You know what old BP bet. Again, Roll Tide. I think they – I would not be – this is probably one of my more confident side picks of week one. I would not be – you don't hear me say this often. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, 42-14-ish type of game. I really think Alabama kicks their ass.
Mm-hmm. How about South Carolina, Virginia Tech in Atlanta?
Game I haven't bet yet. That's one. A great game to get an idea of a data point. You know, I'm very low on South Carolina. I'm also low on Virginia Tech. So just because you heard me talk so badly about South Carolina doesn't mean that I'm anti them every game. I'm really worried about Virginia Tech this year. I'm not a big Brent Pry fan. I think he's 1-12 the last 3 years in close games. And a lot of people, that's bad luck. No, it's bad coaching because I have watched a lot of them, and he doesn't put them in the best position. The quarterbacks, both of them banged up in the spring. Another new offensive line coach for them. I'm hoping it's coming down a little bit, the side. I'm actually looking to bet South Carolina in the game.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one I wanted to hit you with, Toledo at Kentucky, where I don't know how much you've seen of this, but in this part of the country, I mean, a lot of people are picking Toledo outright, even though they're, last I checked, an 8.5-point underdog. What do you have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's moved 3 points. It opened 11.5 down to 8.5. I agree with the initial move, but one thing, it's okay sometimes to be contrarian, especially in week one. Well, look, nobody really knows for sure. Hell, the coaches don't even know for sure when the lights get finally turned on. And you get like one-way action with no resistance because we have no new data points for people to have a different opinion. I think I'm way low on Kentucky. I bet under the win total, I think it's going to be a miserable season. With that being said, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I end up betting Kentucky just to be contrarian here, because at some point numbers matter. And right now it's saying Kentucky is a little bit cheap at this 8.5-point spread.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brad, I can't thank you enough for giving me all this time. I really appreciate it. Cannot recommend your Twitter enough or the show. Before you go, can you tell our audience how to check it out so they can find all your work?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to find all my stuff is on Twitter, X, whatever you kids are calling it these days. BradPower7 is a Twitter handle, and I got a bunch of shows I do each week.
All right, Brad, thanks again. Thank you so much, and man, good luck this season.
Thanks for having me.